All right, so we are making our way through Unit 9 of Jews, Israel, and Jesus. And Unit 9 is End Times, Trouble to Triumph. And we have made our way to Point C. Point C is God's gathering of the nations against Israel to judgment. So we've got Israel gathered from all the nations to which they have been scattered, but then God is going to gather all the nations of the world against Israel and then show himself mighty on their behalf. So we're going to look at scriptures pertaining to this, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I want you to have the proper framework and perspective of what these scriptures are talking about so you know that these will be literally fulfilled by God for his people and the nations. These are very significant for the times that we live in so that as believers, we recognize that our citizenship has to be first and foremost and always in the kingdom of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then secondarily, whatever citizenship we have in whatever nation we belong to. So I am an American. My citizenship in this earth is the United States of America. Maybe you are from another nation. I know there are people listening from many different nations of the world, but these passages are going to make it very clear that all nations. That means all nations, all of them, each and every one. That means your nation and my nation. No matter if your nation might right now appear to have some kind of alliance with Israel or good relations with Israel, and you think that your nation is blessed because your nation has blessed Israel, what these passages make exceedingly clear is that all nations will turn against Jerusalem. All nations will turn against Israel because this is all part of God's plan, and his plan will be fulfilled. So let's jump right in. We're going to start with Micah. This was actually, in my personal journey of pursuing the Lord and scripture and understanding the things about Israel and the nations, this was the first scripture that really stood out to me, that what appeared to be going on in the sight of the nations was different than what God was doing in his plan. It just was one of those scriptures that popped off the page to me. So I'm doing that one first, and then we'll go into others that might be more familiar to some of you, specifically pertaining to Israel and the gathering of the nations. So Micah 4, starting with verse 11, and this is the Lord speaking to the people of Israel. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, let her be defiled, and let our eyes gaze upon Zion. So the nations are saying, we want to take Zion for ourselves. We want to go in and take over the land of Zion. We're at verse 12, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. So they think, the nations think, that they're going in to take over Zion. But in their own thought of what they're doing, they don't know that it is God who is drawing them into the land of Zion so that he can put them on the threshing floor and thresh them. Now, threshing is the process of pounding and crushing wheat or grain to separate the wheat from the chaff so that the chaff goes off and is blown away in the wind, and only what is worthwhile for food, only what can be eaten from the wheat falls down to the ground and is preserved. Threshing is the process of hammering and pounding and crushing to separate the wheat from the chaff. So you might even be reminded of Matthew 13, the parable of Jesus, the wheat and the tares. Yes, Jesus is going to come and judge. The nations will be judged on a threshing floor where God will separate those who are his from those who are not. But in these times, in this world, he's going to use his people, Israel, as that threshing tool. So what it says is, we're at verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples, and shall devote their gain to the Lord, the wealth of the Lord of the whole earth. So there it is. God is going to draw all the nations against his people, and then use his people as the agent of judgment against all the nations. That's pretty powerful stuff. So we just came out of the class in the last class where it was trouble for Jacob and God was using the nations to punish the sin of his people. But then Jacob gets saved out of that. And then Jacob is restored to the land. Then God gathers the nations against the people that are in the land and then uses his own people to punish the people who are gathered against his people. I know it sounds complicated, but it actually all makes sense. And God is really wise and brilliant. And if I were the Apostle Paul, I would burst out into, oh, the marvelous wisdom of God, and go on for another three sentences because Paul got really excited about these types of things. God is really awesome, and God is really sovereign over all the nations of the earth, and he is perfectly just and righteous and true in all of his ways. Let's look at Joel chapter 3, starting with verse 2. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I will gather all the nations, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat means the Lord is judge. So I will bring them to the valley of the Lord is judge. I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, where that valley is, it's in Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, it's called the Kidron Valley. It's just down. You can see it from the Temple Mount. You can see it from the Southern Steps. You can see it from the Mount of Olives. It separates the Temple Mount from the Mount of Olives. It's the valley in between. So it's still there to this day. That's where all the nations are going to be gathered, in the city of Jerusalem. God will bring them to the valley of Jehovah is judge. He goes on, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage Israel. So he's going to come and vindicate his people. He's entering into judgment against all the nations to vindicate his people Israel for how the nations have treated his people. Now, in prior classes, we talked about how the nations for thousands of years have persecuted, expelled, falsely accused, tortured, murdered, annihilated his people. So God is going to bring vengeance on all the nations who have done that to his people. And it goes on. He says, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up my land and have cast lots for my people and have traded a boy for a prostitute and have sold a girl for wine and have drunk it. So all the nations have mistreated his people. Now God is going to judge the nations for doing so. We're at verse 4. What are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? So he's speaking now to Gentile nations. He's like, what do you matter to me? What are you to me? You are not my covenant people. I have no covenant of love with you. He says, are you paying me back for something? If you are paying me back, I will return your payment on your own head swiftly and speedily. For you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried my rich treasures into your temples. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks in order to remove them far from their own border. Behold, I will stir them up from the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your payment on your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a nation far away, for the Lord has spoken. He goes on, verse 9, proclaim among the nations, consecrate for war, stir up the mighty men. He's saying, get ready, war is coming. He says, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. He says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. So that's the reversal of what he said through Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied of a time when the swords would be beaten into plowshares. So instead of an object of war, it would be used as an instrument of farming. And your spears into pruning hooks, again, instead of an instrument of war, it would be used for farming and cultivating the soil. But to the nations now, he's saying, get your mighty men ready. If you have a farming instrument, you better turn it into a weapon because war is on the way. He says, let the weak say, I am a warrior. Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations stir themselves up and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. So God used the threshing floor analogy in Micah. Now he's talking about the harvest of the grapes, the grape harvest, the winepress of God, which we can also see reflected in Revelation 14. 14:14-20, the harvest of the whole earth and the winepress of God, with the blood rising up in the city as high as a horse's bridle, so all the way to the height of a horse's mouth, and going for almost 200 miles, like 150 to 200 miles, depending on how you calculate a stadia. That's in the book of Revelation. But the book of Revelation is saying that the ultimate fulfillment of Joel chapter 3 is still yet to come. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. That's the evil of the nations who have all gathered themselves against the people of God in Jerusalem. We're at verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. So remember, God said he would be a refuge to his people, a sanctuary to his people. But for anyone who is not truly his, he will be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block. And so this is the final day of judgment. God himself will judge all the nations. First, he will gather them all against his people because they think they're going in to win. But what they don't know is God is gathering them to meet their fate, their final judgment at his hand. So let's look also at Zechariah chapter 12. God says something similar. He's going to use his people as the agent of judgment against the nations. We'll start with verse 2. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves. So every nation that comes against Jerusalem is going to cause them to stagger, and they're all going to try to lift it to displace it out of its place. But instead, that heavy stone is going to fall on them and hurt them. He goes on, and all the nations of the earth will gather against it. Do you hear it? All the nations of the earth will gather against Jerusalem. On that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. But for the sake of the house of Judah, I will keep my eyes open when I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. So the war horses of the peoples from the nations are going to go blind. They will not be able to see, and they will be in panic. But God, his eyes will be open. He will orchestrate this battle perfectly with eyes wide open. Then the clans of Judah shall say to themselves, the inhabitants of Jerusalem have strength through the Lord of hosts, their God. So everyone will see that Jerusalem is being strengthened by a supernatural power that must be God coming to their aid. We're at verse 6. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a blazing pot in the midst of wood, like a flaming torch among sheaves. So picture that. Picture a torch going in among sheaves of wheat. It would just ignite in a moment, light up in a fire. So God is saying that Judah will be like that torch. Everything that comes near to it will burn up like chaff. Everything that comes near to it, even if they think that they are going to go in and destroy it, they themselves will be devoured. And he goes on, and they shall devour to the right and to the left all the surrounding peoples, while Jerusalem shall again be inhabited in its place in Jerusalem. And the Lord will give salvation to the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not surpass that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them on that day shall be like David. So think about that. David was a mighty warrior, a mighty warrior. You can read about his many battles against many mighty warriors and even giants, but the feeblest among the people will be like David. The scripture goes on, and the house of David shall be like God. Whoa! So the house of David is going to have such a supernatural power given to it that they will be like God himself. It goes on, like the angel of the Lord going before them. That's powerful. And believe me, I know that we're skipping over a lot of things, but I want you to hear these passages with your own ears. You can do lots of homework. There's lots of speculation about these passages. I'm not going to get into the speculations. I just want you to hear them in their proper context with your own ears. We're at verse 9. And on that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. All right, well, hold up. We just said in verse 3 that all the nations of the earth are going to gather against Jerusalem. So now we're at verse 9, and he's saying that he's going to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So what that means is that all the nations are going to be destroyed because they will prove themselves to be enemies of God and enemies of God's people. Well, but he says, we're at verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps for a firstborn. So this is what I'm saying, that these passages have not yet fully been fulfilled. Yes, there were people in the early church, Jewish people, who looked upon Jesus as the one that they had pierced, and they mourned, and they repented, and they received their salvation by putting their faith in Jesus as their Messiah. But what this is saying is that all the nations will gather against Jerusalem. God will be with Jerusalem in such a powerful, supernatural way, and particularly those who are of the house of David, which I believe is a spiritual house of the descendant of David, who is Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And then the house of Israel will come to understand that Jesus is their Messiah. They will look on him, the one that they crucified 2,000 years ago. They will mourn and repent over their sin. They will weep over him as the firstborn of God. They will come into the new covenant and receive their salvation from God. Hallelujah. So while God is bringing judgment against all the nations of the earth, at the same time, he is pouring out a spirit of mercy upon his people, that their hearts are softened, their eyes are opened, and they see Jesus for who he really is, even though their hearts have been hardened and their eyes have been blinded for the past 2,000 years. Well, Zechariah says in Zechariah 14, he goes on in a little different way, starting with verse 2. He says, "For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and women raped." So it's not going to be just an easy battle. And this is immediately before the Lord returns. "Half the city shall go out into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel, and you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day there shall be no light, cold, or frost, and there shall be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time there shall be light. On that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter." We're at verse 9. "And the Lord will be king over all the earth." What was God's original purpose and plan and design? To be king over all the earth, to be king over all humanity. But all the way back to Adam and Eve, they rebelled against him and did not obey his ways. And that's what got all of humanity into this whole mess in the first place. But God is so faithful and so righteous and so holy and true that he works his plan to redeem and restore all the earth to himself, those who are called by his name, those who come willingly to him in the day of his power. He goes on that day, the Lord will be one and his name one. The whole land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. So he's saying the whole earth is going to be leveled. The whole earth will be one level, but Jerusalem shall remain aloft on its site from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. And it shall be inhabited, for there shall never again be a decree of utter destruction. Jerusalem shall dwell in security. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. So that's pretty intense. So all the nations are going to be gathered against Jerusalem to battle, but that will be the plague that will come upon those who fight against Jerusalem, because the Lord himself will fight for his people. Now, Jesus himself ascended from the Mount of Olives, and an angel told his disciples that he would return in the very same way in which he left. So he is returning to the Mount of Olives. This scripture will be literally fulfilled. On that day, his very own feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will be split. The Lord will come, and all his host of holy ones with him. The day of judgment will come against all the nations of the earth that have proven themselves to be enemies of God. God will vindicate the evil that they have worked against his people Israel, and the evil and wickedness that they have worked against God and his ways. God will be proven holy in the sight of all the peoples of the earth, and God will be king over all the earth when all the chaff is separated from the wheat, and the wheat, the holy ones, are brought into the world to come to dwell with God forever.